right? Is that good there? All right, so if you take your Bible, if you will, please, we're going to be looking. I'm going to tell you, that's the best singing I ever heard. I don't think you could travel all 54 states and be able to find better singing. 54 states. Didn't you know that? I guarantee you right now, I'm telling you, no doubt about it. That's some of the smart stuff he's done. If you find the place, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter number 2, somebody may want to ask me, you know, whenever you're cutting up about the politicians and the president and his cabinet, there might be some people offended. What do you say to them? Be offended. Be offended. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, if you're able to stand, look there. We're going to be reading there, beginning there. The Bible said, in the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God. Are you in the will of God this morning? I hope you are. I hope if not, you will be. The will of God abideth forever. Little children, it's not the last time, or it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. They were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One. It's important you remember that. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God, bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. I pray you'd save the lost without hope and without God, that they might come as an empty-handed beggar, get washed by the blood of the Lamb, be born into the family of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I'm going to preach a little while on this sermon entitled, I'm Not Running Out, I'm Going to Get Straightened Out. Amen. You're here this morning, your life, no doubt, up till now, if you don't know the Lord, it's been a mess. It's been a blinding mess to you, and you'll end up in hell if you die like that. But it's not time to take off and run off. It's time to get straightened out for the glory of God. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, the Bible said in the last days that we're living in, and no doubt about it, is that there's going to be a great falling away, a great departure from the faith. People that are not going to believe God, the Bible, what's good, right, and holy, and decent. You and I believe because we've had a holy unction. We've got an unction that came from God by the Spirit of God through the preaching of the Word of God according to the will of God. And that's what this whole lesson talks about. Fact is, there's a lot of people that claim to know him. The Bible said, he that said that I know him and keepeth not his commandments in the same chapter is a liar and the truth's not in him. That's true, isn't it? I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into this lesson, that the reason if you're here, you're saved by the grace of God, is because of the fact that God has given you the grace to believe in his Son that paid the sin debt on Calvary. God gave you the ability to believe in him. In fact, is I want to say to you that if you will, the Bible says that when God gives you that belief, he won't change his mind. I can't tell you how many people that whenever I say, you know, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, well, what if down the road you're not trusting? The trust I'm talking about doesn't come from you. It comes from God. And when God gives you that holy unction and that holy belief, he'll never change his mind. Whatsoever God doeth, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and about verse 14, whatsoever God doeth, he doeth forever, and no man can add to it or take away from it. God doeth then that men may fear. Now, if God gives you something, that's a divine gift. That's what it is right there, the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God won't change his mind. You know, Jesus, in chapter number 13 of the book of Hebrews, and about verse number 8, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not talking about intellectually. Everybody in here knows something about Jesus Christ intellectually. You learned it when you were but a lad or a lass, when you were a young child. You learned it growing up. And let me tell you, there's not anybody in this building here that does not know the name that is above every name intellectually. But you'll never get born again if all you've got's in your head and you don't have it deep down in your heart. But when the holy unction of God puts it down in your heart and gives you faith to believe Him, you'll be saved by the grace of God. Over in the book of Malachi, don't turn there, but in chapter number 3 and about verse number 6, he says, "For I am the Lord and I change not." I'm glad to know God's not as whimsical as you and I are, and He doesn't today, you know, change His mind about what He did yesterday. I'm going to tell you, whatever God does, He does forever. In fact, He is in Proverbs in 24 and verse 21. You ain't got to turn there either. The Bible said, "Meddle not with them that are given to change." You go to finding people, they're this way one day and that way another time, and wishy-washy, and in, they're in or out, up and down. And I'm talking about, you can't never put your finger right on exactly who and what they are. You know the reason why you can't? They don't even know who they are. In this lesson, the Bible said, "Meddle not with them that are given to shame." Number one is, in this lesson here, you're either going to be operating by lust. That's the reason why he warned about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. You're either going to be operating by lust or you're going to operate by the Lord. Now, lust will change, and the heat's going to go up and it's going to go down. And let me tell you what ends up happening is that if you get hooked up by the lust, you'll never know if you're in or out, up or down or sideways. But I can tell you from the Bible where you're at. But if you know the Lord, you've got the will of God, and you're in the will of God, and you know the mind of God, and you've been given something by the divine touch of the Lord. You know why the average Baptist church is deader than 10 o'clock? No divine touch. No divine touch. It's just religion going through the motions with some kind of a notion. But when you've got the touch of God upon your heart and life, it makes a difference in the preacher, makes a difference in the pew. Makes a difference, you know. It makes a difference in the fact that you're sitting here and God is doing something real in your heart and in your life. And not only that, when you got saved by the grace of God, now you're growing in grace and love and knowledge of Him. All right, first of all is, number one, while you turn to Philippians, don't lose your text. But there's a passage that I want you to look at in the book of Philippians. And I want to slow down enough for you to be able to find it because it's very vital and important. Do you realize, you know, that we live in a world that somehow or another believe in saved today and lost tomorrow and all that business? I've had people that literally want to run me down. Here's what they'd say. "Oh, you're one of those Baptists believing once saved, always saved." I said, "No, I don't." And boy, they'll look at you crazy. "Well, what do you believe then?" "I believe once lost, always lost till you get saved." And boy, it just blows their mind. Oh, it's that. Okay, well, I thought you would believe that other way. You idiot. They're the same end. You see what I'm talking about? Now, let me tell you the reason why people start out and didn't fizzle out. Look if you will, in Philippians, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 28 and 9. Look at the passage there. And he says that nothing terrified by your adversary. You know what the devil does? He wants to seduce you by a seductive spirit and confuse your mind and cloud the issue. And the Bible said that's your enemy, and nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. You know why the lost person does the way they do? It's an evident token of their perdition. He says, "But to you of salvation and that of God." Now watch this passage 29. "For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." Don't tell you. You know where the belief that saved you is? It was given in the behalf of Christ. It's a divine gift. It's a divine touch. It's a divine eye-opener, if you will, please. See, the Lord, whenever He opens up your heart and your life and your mind, it's a belief the person of God is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you know that the Bible said that God cannot lie? Now look over in John, St. John chapter number 10. I want you to watch it. In the book of St. John, and in chapter number 10. Now, we run through these all the time, and we quote these passages of Scripture so that we might be able to recognize and refresh our memory as to where it's at. But I want to slow down enough to show you that, if you will, please, is that in chapter number 10, verse number 28. Now, watch this. Now, it's already been established that God gives you faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the sin debt. bowed his head, said, "It's finished," rose the third day, victorious, glorious over death, hell, and the grave. And Jesus Christ, who has given you eternal life, he's the gift of God. And I want you to watch what he says at the ultimate end will be in verse 28 of John chapter 10. He says now, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You know where you can tell a Christian's at? Following Christ. "And I give unto them eternal life." It's not a buddy plan, not working on it. It's a gift of God. And notice what it says, "And they shall never perish." God, if he gives you eternal life, he said, "You shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I'm going to tell you, when God gives you something that's real, that's a divine gift. And not only that, but a divine one will not ever change his mind. And as a result of that, you have, I'd hate to know that I was listening to a preacher this morning that did not believe you could know for sure where you went when you died, if you went to heaven or went to hell. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a fool that would listen to that person preach one more time. Now, I don't make no mistake about it. You mean tell me you want me to get up here and take your money and you give tithes and offerings unto the Lord? You think for one minute that'd be a wise move if I didn't know for sure where I was going when I died? Make no mistake about it, dear friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ said they'll never perish. Now, somebody said, "Well, what if they graduated with a degree of what if?" I'm going to believe what Jesus said. If he ever gives you everlasting life, you'll never perish. You talk about being secure in Christ. Somebody said, "Well, you know, I know a lot of Baptist churches. I do too, that are going to hell. I know what you're saying. But if you trust Christ, dear friend, you'll never perish." But I'll tell you what he'll do is he'll change your heart, he'll change your life, and all that right there. Now, here's the reason why that I know that no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, and me and my Father are one, so forth, and my Father greater, so forth and on. And me and my Father are one. I got to tell you something while you look in the book of Titus in chapter number 1. When we deal with God and deal with the gift of God and what God's able to supply, and by the way, let me remind you that it's God that gave you and I the belief we have. If you've got a divine belief, it came from God. If you've got a divine belief, then no doubt is that it'll be that which will last forever and you shall never perish. And let me tell you something, you won't be one of these days one of those that have fallen away in the last days. In Titus chapter 1, look in verse number 2. The Bible said, "In the hope of eternal life, which God..." You know, that's where this belief came from we talked about. That's where this security comes from. "And they shall never perish." That's where it comes from. And the Bible said, "In the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." Now, I can't remember exactly where that it is, and I don't have everything marked, but in John, 1 John chapter 5, I think that you and I are going to find something. And verse number 10, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. And I want to show you something about that real quickly. And I don't have that marked, but I've got it right here in verse number 10. The Bible says that he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave his Son. Do you know that if you die lost without God, what you're saying in essence, you're saying to God, "You're a liar. Your Son can't save me. There's no hope in salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ." God said, if you don't believe God, you're telling God as though he's a liar. And God cannot lie. We've already established in the fact that whenever God tells you and promises you something, is that you can believe that, let God be true and every man a liar. In this lesson, the Bible said in Titus in chapter number 1, and I want to read it to you, the rest of it, so that you'll know it, because this isn't just some kind of a whimsical thing that he came up. But notice in verse 2, Titus 1, he said, "In the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie," now watch this, "promised before the world began." That isn't something all of a sudden that God was twiddling in some or wringing his fingers and trying to figure out for sure that if there were 54 states and if made in America was two words or three, he wasn't that. He wasn't that. Our God had all of this planned out and knew from before the world ever began. I got to say to you, is that you'll find out that's the reason why you ought to just believe God and let God be true and every man a liar. God before the world began. Now I'm going to tell you, that's pretty solid. Do you realize how many people have risen to power by the hand of God and that have fallen because of His will? Do you realize that, the reason why that our nation's in the mess that it's in? We're in a beer drinking, whiskey drinking, dope smoking, adulterous, fornicating world that we're living in. That's without hope, without God. That's blasphemers all the way around. And they love queers together. You realize, that right now, and I wouldn't either if I was going to encourage him. I would not. Do you know why America's in the mess it's in? I'll tell you why. We've defied God on every corner. We've treated the day of the Lord as though it was just another day. We've treated the Bible as though it was just another book written by a bunch of men. We've not looked at it as a divine thing, as a holy thing. If you're sitting here this morning, you're not saved without the grace of, you're not saved because of the grace of God that's been offered to you. It's because you think God's lying and that He will not save your soul. Now, in this Bible lesson that we're looking at back in our text over in the book of 1 John that we've read in chapter number 2, you know what ended up happening, don't you? It was a matter of the fact that God could have given them faith, and they went through the motions as though that God had given them faith. But then down the road, somebody came talking in their ear, and they left and abandoned the doctrine of God for a man-made doctrine that gives no hope, that gives no salvation, that gives no promise. It allows a whole lot more fun on the physical lust end, but it doesn't allow you anything with God. In this lesson that you're looking at, this Bible said that if you're sitting here and you're saved this morning, God gave you faith. You know how you got it? By hearing the word of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you right now, I know a lot of people up and down the road that I like, and they've got a family. Busy this morning, either playing on the beachfront or playing out in their yard or doing this or doing that and having a barbecue and they have no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, or decent. I got to tell you, am I concerned about those people? Sure, I'm concerned about them. But let me tell you right now, shame on the mama and daddy that'll not bring their family to the house of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You can't ever tell when God's going to come knocking upon their heart's door. Hey, would to God, if you're not faithful to the Lord, God go to knocking on your heart's door. In the lesson that you're looking at, did you realize that the Bible said that it's God in the book of Romans 12, about verse number 3, that it's God that dealt to every man the measure of faith? If you've got the measure of faith that brought you into the family of God, it came because God dealt you. That's a divine gift. The measure of faith. I begin to look into this lesson here. The Bible said there's only one faith, one Lord, one baptism, so forth and all, over there in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 4. And let me tell you something, all of that is a divine gift and divinely given. Now, you know, whenever I look into it, when I see that, somebody said, how do you believe you're saved? Here's what'll blow their mind. I believe I'm saved through a person, his name's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I've been baptized by a divine baptism. It had no water. That's going to... Because the world out there, they believe every time you see the word baptism, they equate water to it. Every time you see the word water, they equate baptism to it. I got to tell you something. Is that if you're in the Methodist church, they believe in sprinkling. I do too, if you're going to iron your clothes. But if you're going to get saved by the grace of God, you're going to have to come as an empty-handed beggar, be washed by the blood, and born into the family of God. But if what you've got's not real, you'll trade that for some man-made doctrine somewhere. In this lesson you're looking at, this Bible says, is that everything that's been divinely given. Do you know that if God's given you a divine power, 2 Peter chapter 1, if God gave you a divine power, He gave you a divine nature. Now, I got to tell you, over there in the book of, where is that? Proverbs, he quotes it over in the book of 1 Peter, I believe that it is. But here's what he said, as the sow goes to the wallowing back in the mire, and the dog returns to its vomit or something of that nature. Remember what he's talking about? Well, I got to tell you something, make no mistake about it, is that if you're not born into the family of God, it won't be long and you'll be returning back into the wallah and to the mire from whence that you came. Yeah, here's what he says. He said, for had it been better for them to not know the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. This is in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Now verse 22 says, but it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to the wallowing in the mire. I can tell you, you can wash up a pig, decorate up a pig, but you're never going to get anything out of it but just a pig, because you cannot change its nature. You know, when God saved you and I, changed our nature. I don't remember where you went, what you did, and how far down in the gutter you was, but you realized God could reach farther down than you could ever reach up. And whenever he set your feet on the solid rock, it was because of a divine power, of a divine gift that gave you a divine nature that made you realize that, oh, you are what you are by the grace of God. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, we live in a world that rejects the word of the Lord back in your text. And I want to tell you something. That's what Matthew chapter number 15, about verse number 12 through 13 was. He says they were offended at the Lord Jesus Christ, offended at the word of the Lord. In fact, his disciples came up to him and said, Lord, do you know these people were offended at what you were saying? And you know what Jesus answered? I'll tell you what he said. He said, every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted is going to be rooted up. It's going to be rooted up, rooted out. I got to say to you, make no mistake that this is an eye-opener, and the opinions of men can't help you. They'll be consumed one of these days, and if you're not careful, you will be as well blown about with every wind of doctrine. I've had more than one person in days gone by and say, well, you know, there's a lot wrong with Baptists. And I say, you're right. You're exactly right. There's a whole lot of people. I know a lot of sorry Baptists. But you won't find nothing wrong with Bible salvation that's given by the blessed word of the Lord. And if God gives you nothing but just a Baptist name, you'll go to hell with it. But if you get washed by the blood, born into the family of God, you know, every time a Baptist says something that's wrong according to the Bible, I know it. If I know the Bible, I'll know it. I don't care who it is, where they're from, so forth and on. If you get crossways with God, the Word of God, the will of God, the mind of God, and you go after the opinions of men, it's evident they went out from us because they were not all of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us until now. Now, that doesn't mean that you'll always have to go to this church. One of these days I see you've all of a sudden abandoned this for some kind of moon bunch. You're riding around with your butt cheeks hanging out a window. That's mooning. That's what moon. I wonder why they call that a moon roof in the vehicles. You can't get your behind up that high. Well, some of you may can. Some of you may can. If you get out there, you know, with that bunch of Hare Krishna and a bunch and all that right there, I'm telling you something, is that make no mistake about it. I had pretty much all of you till I say something about the Church of Christ, United Pentecostals, or the United Methodist Church. And then all of a sudden I go to losing you. Oh, yeah, I don't want you to say stuff like that right there. Because that's what God said in the Bible. I got to close with this because I realize and know that it's not fun anymore. But I want to say to you that if you will, please, you're either going to receive the word, reject the word, or run, be running from the word. Do you ever notice some of your kin folks, when they started out, they'd come to church with you a time or two? I'm talking to people right here that I love that are the finest people on the face of this earth, finest Christians that are dedicated, consecrated. Some of you have got children. I guarantee you, after one trip, they ain't coming back for Mother's Day and Father's Day no more. I'm not coming listening to him. I'm not going to come be raked over the coals like that. I want to say to you that they run. In fact, is they now avoid it. Once you got a kid goes to the liberal world, they'll avoid it. I don't ever hear from one of our daughters. I don't ever hear from her anymore. But if she does come, she tries to avoid a church day so that they can go ahead and get their little peace done. Goodbye. We love you. See you in a year or two. See? Now, I know you can't say that about your kids. I know you can't, but I can. I can because that I'm concerned about the condition they're in. You know the reason why sometimes people get in the condition they're in? Everybody's trying to pat them on the back, making them feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent. That's called psychology. It just don't work. I want to say in closing, and I'm done. This Bible said in chapter number 2, verse number 19, that if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But the reason why they left us and left out and went another direction is because they were not all of us, and God wanted to manifest that to you and I. Now, I want to say in closing this morning, while we get ready to sing the invitation song, what about you, Mama? What about you, Daddy? Young lady, a young man, what about you? Are you just going to run out or get straightened out? Are you just going to run and hide? Or are you going to get straightened out with God? I'm not living like this any longer. Now, I can tell you what I will say, and I've been saying this for years, and you know it, and you, many of you out here can say the very same thing. You can preach anything you want to from that Bible, but you're not going to preach me off the bench. If you can't say that, dear friend, something's wrong and missing in your heart and in your life. Are you going to just run out, or do you want to get straightened out? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our...
Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of